Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Mark. Jesus said, "There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." In the name of Jesus. Jesus picks up this morning where he left off last week. In fact, it's the exact same message. We just divided it up into two different Sundays so that we could better digest it. Now, if you remember from last week, Jesus talks about all of the different ways that the Pharisees believed that they could and did make themselves righteous. They had created things, made them up out of thin air, and said, this is the way in which we are righteous before God. Their traditions had become what was important, so much so that when their traditions butted heads with actually serving their neighbors, when they had to choose one over against the other, they would always choose their traditions, and their neighbors would have to suffer the consequences. Jesus, he brings to light the utter hypocrisy of it all. In believing that they are making themselves holy and righteous, they are in fact showing themselves to be sinful wretches. Whitewashed tombs, each and every single one of them, pretty to look at from the outside, nothing but death and decay within. And so Jesus, he continues this little diatribe of his, probably because we are hard-headed and very hard-hearted sinners that can't for the life of us understand the simplest things when it comes to our God. So this week, Jesus continues to discuss the things that truly defile. For the Jews who were originally hearing this for the first time, it was like their minds were being blown. Even his disciples had asked Jesus to explain himself once they were in private, which he seems to be more than just a little bit annoyed when he says, "Then are you also without understanding?" I wonder how many times he thinks the same thing about us. Probably more than we would like to admit. The odd thing about it all is the thing that caused such consternation amongst the Jews was that it seemed as if Jesus was going against what everybody learned back in synagogue school. It seemed as if he was contradicting Leviticus, because he told them that it wasn't what goes into you that defiles you, but what comes out, meaning that all of the things that were deemed to be unclean, the food that you ate, all the stuff that you consumed, could not in reality make you unclean. It couldn't defile you. "Go ahead and eat your bacon," he said. "It tastes so delicious. Why do you think I made pigs in the first place?" He probably didn't say that, but it's probably what he meant. And in short, he was talking about the ceremonial law that we get to hear about in the Old Testament. That was established for a time and for a place. It was a way in which to set aside his people and to shine a light on all of the fallenness of this whole entire creation. But such things of ceremony had come to an end. Now that Jesus had burst onto the scene, he was the fulfillment of such laws. He's the fulfillment of all the law, in fact. And so remaining clean and righteous and undefiled was not a question of things of ceremony, but instead it's a question of things of him. It all sounds really confusing, but we'll get it straightened out by the end of the sermon, I promise. And the issue at hand, both for the people of Jesus' day and for the people of our day, is that we always go about asking the wrong questions. And we're always focusing on the wrong things. For the Jews of Jesus' day, they were more concerned about all the stuff of ceremony, not eating shellfish and making sure they don't touch the icky things. They're more concerned about those things than about their neighbor. Stuff about their neighbor, that's the moral law. Those are the things that don't change. The things that actually we speak. And the things that actually talk about what our heart looks like. This is what can actually defile you. What does, in fact, make you unclean in the sight of God. It's the stuff you do. The stuff that you think. It's the way that you treat your neighbor. It's the way that you despise the good and gracious gifts that your God has laid out before you. But it's even worse than that. And sure, Jesus is just laying out the Ten Commandments again, and there's nothing of ceremony there. Are you concerned about acting in a righteous and holy way? Then stop stealing from your neighbor. Are you actually concerned about the law of God? Then stop all of your lustful thoughts before they turn into lustful actions. And if they've actually turned into lustful actions, stop trying to justify yourself with some idea that God will forgive you anyways, so you can go and continually do whatever it is your sinful flesh likes to do. That's not the way of the gospel. It's not how things work. Are you really so concerned about being looked upon as a good person, an upstanding citizen, a member of your community? Then stop hating your neighbor. Stop treating him with disrespect. Stop gossiping about all those that you pretend are your friends. Stop slandering their reputation. Stop being so puffed up and prideful all the time. Stop being such a fool who thinks that God doesn't actually see into your heart, even if you're able to keep your hands clean. Jesus doesn't pull any punches here, does he? In fact, his law never does. It's a heavy, heavy thing that crushes all who come into its path. There's no escaping it. And it's here to say that you're not as clean or righteous or undefiled as you would have yourself and everyone else think you are. Because where do all of these evil and vile things actually come from? Where does this long laundry list of ugliness actually originate? Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, the theft and the murder, the adultery, the sensuality. Where does that come from? The coveting and wickedness and deceit and envy and slander and pride and foolishness. Jesus could go on and on and on, but he doesn't have to. All of those things have already found the mark, have already hit your conscience. And if they haven't already hit your conscience, you're a fool who's only fooling himself, scrubbing clean his tomb so sparkly white, not realizing that you're already dead inside. It's heavy, I know. Goodness, don't I know? I don't think that I've been so convicted in writing a sermon in a long time, because there's just no way of getting out from under this law. And then the final boulder that comes crashing down, the final proverbial nail in the proverbial coffin, is when Jesus says, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts. The evil lies within you, within me. It isn't something that we can just point to out there and say, steer clear of those things and those people. They're bad news. And that might be true in some circumstances, but Jesus isn't concerned with you being able to point out somebody else's defiledness. He's concerned about you being able to recognize your own. And more than that, he's concerned with you understanding, with you knowing, with truly coming to that deadly, scary conclusion that all of the good that you're trying to do in order to make yourself clean and righteous and blameless, it's all pointless. In and of yourself, your heart is corrupted beyond anything that you can repair. Sure, you might be able to clean up some aspects of it, sweep out a couple of the cobwebs and a few of the corners, but dealing with the symptoms does nothing to actually cure the disease. And it's the disease that has to be cured. Otherwise, the disease is going to end up killing you and me eternally. So the problem, the real problem, the deadly real problem is our corrupted and diseased heart. That's what has to be dealt with. And I'm sorry to say, friends, there isn't a single doctor on this planet who's going to be able to cure that disease. There isn't anything that you are going to be able to do to fix what is so broken. So stop trying. And I don't mean stop trying to do good. God tells you to do good. He lays out his commandments so that you can know what good is and so that you can strive to do it for service to your neighbor. Instead, I mean, stop trying to do good while thinking that your good will outweigh your evil. Your good will never outweigh your evil. It will never be good enough. You need someone else's good for that. And that's where Jesus comes in. For you need your broken heart to be fixed. Or perhaps, better said, you need a new heart that can only come from the one who gave you that first heart that you broke at the outset. Jesus, he says something very interesting at the beginning of our text, quite poignant. He says, there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. His point is that the evil defiledness is already lurking within. But he leaves something unsaid, something that he does make clear elsewhere. In fact, it's the whole main point of his gospel message, the one that he came to proclaim and preach and teach, so that we could be freed from this defiled heart of ours that leads to our eternal death. While there may be nothing outside of us that can defile us, there is something outside of us that can make us holy. In fact, the only thing that can make us holy is something, someone outside of us. The only thing that can make us holy is Jesus. For the heart of Jesus is not a heart that is defiled by sin and evil. The heart of Jesus is not one that looks inward to the self and cares only for his best interest. The heart of Jesus is, in fact, a heart that is broken because he knows the nature of our broken hearts. And so it is that heart that is going to lead him to the cross. God's heart is so broken over our brokenness. He's so distraught. He's so furious and angry at the fact that we who had once been made in his likeness bear his image no more, that he'll stop at nothing to fix what is broken and make good what is evil. And so to the cross, your Jesus goes. Because out of all of us fallen people come the very things that defile us and make us unholy. So to the cross, your Jesus goes, collecting all of our wicked, deceitful, envious, slandering, prideful foolishness. To the cross, our Jesus goes, with each and every single sin that defiles us. Everything he takes upon himself, slathering himself head to toe with all of that evilness in order that it might be atoned for, paid for, covered in his holy blood, buried forever in the grave that he burst out of. To the cross, your Jesus goes, so that he might be defiled by your sin, by my sin, so that we would no longer stand defiled before our Heavenly Father any longer. And then from outside of us comes something into us in order to wash our evil hearts that they might be made clean. Outside of us comes his word, the word that says, you are forgiven. I've made you clean. I've washed you whiter than snow, took your sin, exchanged it for my righteousness. You are holy. You are undefiled. You are blameless, and you are clean and holy. You bear my image once again, and none of it came from within you. None of it was your own work. It's all me. It's all me, all the time, all for you. It's that word that is from outside of you, that is now proclaimed into you, into your ears. It is that word, his word, Jesus' word, that makes you holy. And so holy you are. Heart made anew. Heart of Christ placed into your chest, pumping righteousness through your body. But Pastor, how can that really be? You might be thinking, because I know I'm thinking that. If you only knew my heart, you wouldn't be saying such things. Sure I would. That's why you're here, after all. To have Christ come into you once again. To hear his words all over again. Each and every single time that you need them to be proclaimed into your ears. To have Christ himself, his righteous body, his blameless blood, to be placed upon your tongues and into your bellies, just like last week. All of it making you righteous. All of it making you clean today All of it forgiving your sin. All of it making you undefiled. All of it, Jesus. All of it for you. This week, next week, the week after, until he raises you forever undefiled on that last day. In the name of Jesus.